Good morning. Today's daf in Makos is Yud Ches. We left ourselves off on the very top of Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We are up to the words Amarava, and we're about to comment on how when you have a child, you should have one like Rabbi Shimon, and for reasons which we're going to explain, or not so much. It's a quick line of the Gemara, but we are involved in the Sheet of Rabbi Shimon. The reason why we got involved in the Sheet of Rabbi Shimon is because of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, the first line of the Mishnah, back on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, said, "Ha'ochel bikurim achilo kamar lehem." So if you eat bikurim before kriya, meaning as we discussed yesterday, there's a mitzvah, a separate mitzvah of havas bikurim and kriya. And you bring the bikurim and you give it to the kohen, and on top of that, there's also a parsha you have to read in the Torah. Beginning of Parshas Kisavo, Arami Ovid Avi, etc., etc. So you have to read that as well. So there are two mitzvahs involved in bikurim, and according to the Mishnah, if you eat the bikurim, you meaning the kohen, the bikurim or matnas kahuna, it's given to the kohen, has the same status as truma. So if you give it to the kohen and the kohen eats it, but prior to the kriya, so it is it's not only wrong, it's a lav, it's a negative prohibition. On top of that, subject to malchus. That's what it's doing here in our Mishnah. And then what we're going to be discussing over the course of today is that a position? Whose position is that? Is that an accepted position? So what we learned yesterday is that the question number one was answered yesterday's daf. Whose position is that? That's Rabbi Shimon's position. And Rabbi Shimon based it on a series of drushas that he had in the Gemara. And then the Gemara later today is going to be discussing who doesn't subscribe to this position. And we'll speak a little bit later on in terms of what is the accepted halacha. Obviously, it's not halacha l'maisa. We don't have bikurim nowadays. But that's the topic of the daf for the day. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go back to Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, meaning that really all this is one run on sentence. So I'm going to begin from the beginning of the sentence. Admittedly, it's a step backwards, but it's important. It really will help us follow and understand the rest of today's daf. So go back to Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're going to start with my Rabbi Shimon. So what is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon? This is Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. We did all this yesterday. I know. I'm going to do it quickly, but it's necessary. D'tanya, the Gemara says as follows. Now, what we're doing is we're quoting a pasuk from Devarim Perek Yud Beis, this is Parshas Re'eh, and the Torah says, I'm just going to read the pasuk inside, Lo sucha lecho b'sharecha, you can't eat literally in your gates, meaning outside of Yerushalayim. Ma'aser d'gancha sirochcha yisarecha b'choros b'karecha v'tzonecha v'chol n'derecha asher tidor v'nivasecha u'shumas yadecha. Basically, anything with kedusha you can't eat. Not anything, because there's truma, of course. But anything with kedusha you can't eat outside of Yerushalayim. It has to be eaten within Yerushalayim. That's the pasuk. Now the pasuk obviously detailed a number of things. What are the things being detailed inside the pasuk? So that is what we're discussing. So now, with that stated, let's look at the Gemara itself. We learned in the Brisa D'Tanya, Trumas Yadecha Ela Bikurim Amar Rabbi Shimon Ba Ma Ba Zel Lamdenu Im Lo Ochem Chutzachom Akavachomim Mimayser Kal. Look, is the Torah telling us that I'm not allowed to eat Bikurim outside of Yerushalayim? I knew that already. We learned it from Meiser. Ma Meiser Hakal Ochem Chutzachom Loke Bikurim Lekol Shekein. If I'm going to get malchus for eating maaser outside of Yerushalayim, I'm for sure going to get malchus for eating bikurim. Bikurim is more chomer than that of maaser. And again, the kal, the chomer, that's coming up later this morning. But again, I'm reading the braisa now because it just sets up all the information so that later on we'll understand what it's coming off of. Continuing, halo ba kastav ela la ochel mi bikurim ashlo kara leha. So in other words, so now that we've already established that there already is an Isser for eating Bikurim outside of Yerushalayim, what's the Torah now introducing? A new Isser. And the new Isser is that I'm not allowed to eat Bikurim prior to Kriya Saparsha. So, okay. So that's point number one. Point number two. V'nidvosecha zutodo shlamim. The nidvosecha that I'm not allowed to eat outside Yerushalayim is a reference to Todah and Karma Shlamim. I'm Rabbi Shimon Ma Bazalam Dinu Im Lochem Chutzachom Akavachomim Mimayser. So again, is the Torah telling me that I'm not allowed to eat it outside Yerushalayim? I know that already. Meiser Shini, I'm not allowed to eat out of Yerushalayim, and that's Kal. So of course I'm not allowed to eat Toda and Shlamim outside Yerushalayim. That's obvious. So Halabakas Velo Ocha Betoda Veshlamim Lifnei Zrika Shuloka. So a new Isser in the Torah, and that is that I'm not allowed to eat Karmen Toda and Shlamim prior to the Zrika Sadam. Next, Bechoros the Bechor. So Bechoros, so over here it's not a stretch. Bechoros is Bechor. Firstborn animals. I'm Rabbi Shimon Ma Bazalam Dinim Lochum Chutzachom Akavachomim Mimayser. Again, the same starting point. I already knew that I can't eat it outside Yerushalayim. We learned this through a Kavachomer from Meister Sheni. And imlif nezrika kava chamer mitodu shlamim. And if you're telling me that we're learning out that I'm not allowed to eat it before zrikas adam, I know that from todu shlamim. Todu shlamim, I'm not allowed to eat before zrikas adam. So for sure, bechor, which has more kedusha, I'm not allowed to eat before. Zrikas adam. So halo ba kasvela ochal mina bechor afil achas zrika shuloke. So what's the Torah coming to introduce? A new iser, and the new iser is that if you're not a kohen and you eat the bechor, even in the walls, even after Zrikas Adam, but you're not a Kohen, so you're going to get Malkus. Bikar Chavit Zon Chazu Chatas V'Asham. The Bikar Chavit Zon Chaz reference to Karmen Chatas and Asham Am Rebbe Shem Ma Bazel Alam Deinu. Im Lochem Chutz Lechom HaKava Chomim Mimayser. Again, outside the walls, established already. Im Lefnei Zrika Kava Chomim Mitod V'Shlamim. Before Zrikas Adam, established already. Im Lachar Zrika Kava Chomim Bebechor. Non-Kohanim eating it, established already. So Halo Ba Kasav Ela La'ochel Michatas V'Asham. So what is it coming to teach us? That, So here now, an additional malchus, which is if I eat outside kalaim. Kalaim are literally curtains, but it means the walls of the azara, meaning that the confined area of eating the carbon chatzis va'ashem is a much more limited area than that of a regular shlamim. Shlamim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim as long as you are within the choma. And it comes to carbon chatas and anasham, the zichrei kahuna eat it, but only within the kalaim, only within inside the azara. Next, nedarach zu ola. Now, one more item mentioned in the pasuk. It's not really one more, but nedarecha. Next item mentioned in the pasuk. Amar Rabbi Shimon, ma baz lamdinim lochem chutzukham kavachom emaisim lefnei zrika kavachom emito do shlamin im laach zrika kavachom emichorim chutzuklaim kavachom emichatas va'ashem. So for the carbon ola, again, everything's already been established through a kava chomer. Eating it outside of Yerushalayim, eating it before the Zrikas Adam, eating it outside the walls of the Azara, having a non-Kohen eat it, all this has already been established. Halava Kasuf. So what is it coming to tell me? We are now in the very top of Yizayin Amid Beis. So Elala Ochel Mina Ola Lachar Zrika Afil Bifnim Shehu Loke. It comes to tell me that if you were to eat a carbon ola from the carbon ola, even though it is in Yerushalayim, in the Azara, after Zrikas Adam, there's still going to be a set of malchus for eating from the carbon ola. Okay, this is how much we got to yesterday. This is the point we got to yesterday. And so Rabbi Shimon, through a series of kavachomers, extracts the idea that there are many other isurim that are learned from this pasuk. Okay. Now, obviously, there are a number of basic issues need to be tackled, meaning we're learning a halacha, or we're learning Yisurim based on a kavachomer, that already we've established time and again that you're not allowed to do that. Okay. And all that is going to be explored, but in the meantime, however, first the Gemara makes a comment. I'm a Rava, very top of your Zainamid base. So if you're going to have a child, have one like Rabbi Shimon, and if not, then don't have a child. Now, the second half of the statement, admittedly, is a little bit difficult, because that would work with the expectation that we're going to know how our children are going to end up. Okay, that's a bit of a mystery. You know, it's an unknown. And then the second half of the statement is, and if you're not going to have a child like Rabbi Shimon, so then don't have a child. It could be that Gemara is just over here speaking somewhat hyperbole. Or the summary showing him actually take out the second half of the line, meaning it's not to be, it's just simply not part of the Girsas HaGemara. But in any event, the point is that Rav is just obviously giving a compliment towards Rabbi Shimon, meaning it's, you know, if you have a child as great as Rabbi Shimon, it's obviously something to strive for. Now, Rav sets this, by the way, as almost like a, in other words, it's a sign of respect. Meaning when you say to somebody, with all due respect, but, And then, on the other side of that sentence is going to come, I don't know what you're talking about. So over here, Rava basically is saying, with all due respect, but he doesn't mean it in a sarcastic manner, as is often the kind of time when you hear with all due respect. No, he means it, meaning he has a tremendous respect and admiration for Rabbi Shimon. He says, but, and here comes the other side of that sentence, V'alfagav di'islei pircha. Now, he says, look, every kavachomer that was constructed on the Amud Aleph, that's why I read the Amud Aleph, every kavachomer constructed in the Amud Aleph, I can ask a pircha on every one of those kavachomers. So Rava basically says, look, you're building a halacha based on logic, and the logic could be flawed. And in this case, Rava says, I think it is. I think the logic's flawed. So my chomer, de bikurim mi meiser. So now we're going to go through each step of the kavachomer and basically set it up as why Rabbi Shimon thought one way, and Rav is now going to say, and here's why I don't think that way. So let's start off with the chumra of bikurim from meister shekini srim lazarin. So the Gemara says, look, the meister sheni is eaten by everybody, kohen non kohen. Bikurim can only be eaten by kohanim. Again, it has the status of truma, only to be eaten by kohanim. So Rabbi Shimon thought that bikurim is more chumra. Fine. Either Rabbi meister chumra shekini is alonin. I'll say, Rava, that, look, I can find a chumra by meister sheni. Meister sheni is not allowed to be eaten by an onin. That's not true by bikurim. So, umay chumra de toda ushlamim, mi meister, and we're just going to keep going every step of the way. Meaning, this is what Rabbi Shimon thought, and Rava says, and I can counter the argument. So now let's go next step. My chumra de toda ushlamim, mi meister. Now, Rabbi Shimon thought that toda ushlamim is for sure more chumra than meister sheni. She came to an imat and damim, vi imurim, lagabe mizbeach. So, it's a carbon. Meaning todah shlamim, so there are parts of the animal, the fats of the animal that are burnt on the mizbeach. There's also an application of the blood on the mizbeach. Okay, it's a carbon. Bikurim is not a carbon, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, meiser sheni is not a carbon. So adraba meiser chamor shekein to unim kesef tzura. Meiser sheni has a chumra that's not found by todah shlamim. Notably, it's to be redeemed, and it only can be redeemed on minted coins. You don't have this halacha by carbon. So my chumra de bechor mi todah shlamim. Next step. Rabbi Shimon thought that Bechor is more stringent than Todah Shlamim. Shekein Kedusha Somei Rechem. And the reason Rabbi Shimon thought that is because, look, when you have the Bechor, when does it become Kodesh? When it's born. Oh, it's a Chumrah. Todah Shlamim only become Kadosh when the owner of the animal infuses it with Kedusha. It's Maktishit. But when it comes to a Bechor from Rechem, from its birth. On the other hand, you have something by Todah Shlamim that you don't have by Bechor. By Todah Shlamim, you have Nesachim, oil, wine that accompanies the carbon, Tenufa, the waving of the animal, Tenufa Chazav Ishok, waving of parts of the animal. You have that by regular carbon. As I say regular, I mean Todah Shlamim. You don't have that by Bechor. So, again, Rava says, I'm not following Rabbi Shimon's logic. That he automatically assumes that Bechor is more Kadosh. Next, Umay Chomer de Chatas v'Hashem Bechor. Now, Rabbi Shimon thought that Chatas and Hashem have more Kedusha than Bechor. Shekein Kashi Kadoshim. And again, simple argument, Chatas and Hashem are on the level of Kodesh HaKadoshim. Meaning, can only be Shechted on one side of the Mizbech, the north side. Really, one side of the Azara. Okay. The north side, and it can only be eaten by Zechrei Kuhuna, and it can only be eaten inside of the Azara. Okay, Kodesh HaKadoshim, but Bechor is not. But on the other hand, Bechor Chamashin Kedusha Somei Rechem. But again, you have a Chumrah by Bechor that you don't have by Chatas V'Nashem. When does it become Kodesh from the time that it's born? Next, Umay Chumrah De Ola Mechatas V'Hashem. Ola is more Chumrah. That's what Rabbi Shimon thought. And again, Shekein Kalil. The argument for Rabbi Shimon is pretty clear. The Ola is totally burnt. Chatos and Hashem are not totally burnt. Parts of the Chatos and Hashem are eaten by the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, Chatos v'Hashem chamir shekein mechapre. So on the other hand, says Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says Rava, I'll simply counter by saying, Carbon Ola is not providing a kapara. Chatos v'Hashem are providing a kapara. The providing of a kapara is a chumra that you have by chatos v'Hashem that you don't have by carbon Ola. Okay, v'kula chamir me'ola disbu shtei achilos. And on top of that, just one more point, says Rava, and that is, I could put all the other karbanos above an ola. In that, by karban ola, there's only one consumer, the mizbeach. When it comes to the other karbanos, there are two consumers, right? Sometimes three consumers. But in other words, there's a mizbeach, there are the kohanim, there's sometimes by a regular shlamim, the mizbeach, the kohanim, the balim. So in other words, there's multiple consumers by the karbanos. So again, many reasons why I would put other karbanos ahead of an ola. So, Ella, my deal de ime ka Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, so now, let's go back to that compliment that Rava gave to Rabbi Shimon. If you're going to have a child like Rabbi Shimon. And meanwhile, in the Braisa presented with every argument that Rabbi Shimon gave, Rava said, you can make a very valid counter-argument. So, and we're not assuming that the compliment that he gave Rabbi Shimon was a sarcastic compliment. He meant it. So the Gemara says, what kind of compliment was that? So the Gemara says, in that what Rabbi Shimon did is that in order to give the drasha that we just gave in the psukim. So what he had to do was he had to basically invert the pasuk in order to arrive at every one of those points. In other words, it's a creative way to look at the pasuk, and you need a creative mind in order to do that. Again, the arguments themselves Rava disagrees with, but in terms of the creativity of looking at the pasuk, that's something that Rava was extolling regarding Rabbi Shimon. And in that regard, you know, you hope your child is going to be as creative. Okay. We are now towards the bottom of Yuzayin Amud Beis, and the Gemara asks questions which are basically have been on the back burner. They're obvious questions, and the Gemara now is going to present. V'chim azir min adin. So what is happening in that Braisa Rabbi Shimon on Yuzayin Amud Aleph? We have now come up with lav after lav after lav, all built on kavachomers. You can't do that. You can't make a lav built on a kavachomer. A lav is only when the pasuk says something beferish. Only when the Torah says something explicitly, then you have a lav in the Torah. Even though the argument is good, even if it's sound, you don't make a lav based on a kavachomer, and that's what the Gemara is asking. V'chim azir min adin, hafil laman damar onshim min adin. Now, there are debates throughout Shas of whether or not one can punish based on a kavachomer. But you see, punishment, at least it's debatable because there already is a lav in the books, and now it's a question of the Torah doesn't give us the onesh. So can we deduce an onus through a kavachomer? Debatable. One position is yes, the other position is no, but at least we're having a starting point of there is a lav, the Torah just never says what the onus is, so let's deduce the onus. Okay, and debatable whether you could do that. But over here, ein mazir min adin, I'm sorry, ein mazir min adin, so but the Gemara says over here, but to create a lav based on a kavachomer, you can't do that. Meaning, and everyone's in agreement that you can't do that. So what is Rabbi Shimon doing over here, building lav after lav after lav, constructing it based on a kavachomer? You can't do that. Interesting answer of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Yisur ba'ama. So the Gemara says, well, you're right. It's not a formal lav in that you're not going to get malchus for it, but it's still aser. Meaning what you can do through a kavachomer is you can extract an iser in the Torah, but it's not going to be a formal lav. You know, there's no hasra to be given because there's no pasuk to quote. There's not going to be malchus, but it's aser. So it's just an interesting concept that we're being introduced to over here. This idea that there can be an iser of the Torah, but not with a formal lav designation, certainly not with a malchus application. Now the Gemara says, now that's an interesting answer, and it doesn't seem to be a correct answer because v'hamar Rava zarsha acham and olu lefnei zrika chus achoma l'Rabbi Shimon loke chamesh. So Rava makes the following statement. If you subscribe to Rabbi Shimon, now that's a big if, because it's the same Rava which just for the last Amud has refuted the arguments of Rabbi Shimon. So, you know, if you were to hold like Rabbi Shimon, so now we can construct a case in which you're going to get five sets of malchus. If you are a non-Kohen eating the carbon ola before the Zrikas Adam, outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, so according to Rabbi Shimon, you're going to be subject to five sets of malchus. Five sets of malchus. So one, because it's a carbon ola, you're not allowed to eat it. Two, it's before Zrikas Adam. Three, you're also a non-Kohen. All right. Four, you're outside of the Azara. Five, you're outside the walls of Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Shimon deduced on the Amud Aleph of yesterday's daf, that all these are separate Isurim. And Rava says you're going to get five sets of malchus. Now, that's very difficult because we just got done saying that no, Rabbi Shimon's not actually creating formal lavin based on the drushes. They're just Isurim ba'alma. But in other words, Isurim ba'alma means you're not going to get malchus. And meanwhile, Rava makes a statement that you're going to get five sets of malchus. So the Gemara deflects and the Gemara says, well, chamisha Isurim hava. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what Rava meant was not you're getting five sets of malchus, but there are five separate Isurim. So the Gemara says, Vanan Tanan, Elohina Lokin. So the Gemara says, but no. Again, it's a very difficult shot because, remember, this entire discussion was, the genesis of it was our Mishnah. The Mishnah, back on Yuzayin Amud Aleph, taught us that you're going to get Malchus 4. The first thing mentioned in the Mishnah was eating the Bikurim, a Kohen eating Bikurim before Amira. And you're going to get Malchus. Meaning, so now we're talking about a Mishnah in Malchus, where clearly it's not just talking about an Isser. It's clearly talking about getting Malchus. And the Mishnah says, these are things you're going to get Malchus for. And one of them is one of the Isurim that was generated from Rabbi Shimon through his Kavachomer. So we're not just talking about Isurim over here, we're talking about Malchus. So again, the Gemara says, very difficult. So Ella Kray Yisrahu. So the Gemara says, so as far as Malchus 4, the Bikurim, that's not based on the pasuk that we've been quoting from. Meaning it's not from Parshas Re'eh, but rather it's from it is from the pasuk of Re'eh, but a different pasuk. The pasuk says Ve'evesa Hashem v'achaltof nei Hashem lekecha b'makom. Now the question of which pasuk the Gemara is making reference to, we will be assuming that's coming from also Parshas Re, also Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav. Pasuk reads, I'm reading the pasuk inside. Ve'evesem shama losechem v'zivchehem v'es masrosechem v'es trumas yedchem v'nidrechem v'nidvosechem uv'koros becharchem v'tzonchem. So that is Pasuk Vav. Next pasuk. Va'achaltam sham lefnei Hashem Elokechem, smachtem b'chol mishlach yedchem, atem uvitechem asher b'erechecha Hashem Elokecha. The Torah says very clearly, everything just listed, everything that we've been discussing, you have to eat within a confined area. So the Torah tells us from a positive standpoint, here's where you need to eat it. So now when the Torah says, and you're not allowed to eat it b'chol sha'arecha, that's totally extraneous. So, and the Gemara says, and that's what it's built on. Elakra Yisrahu, back to the Gemara, top of Yud Chesem and Aleph. Michtik Ziv Eves Hashem Achal Tofnei Hashem Alkechem Amakom. Lichter Rechmana Lo Sucha Lo Chlam. So when the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat a Mehadim Efarsh Bahu Rechmana. Lamali. Why is the Torah now seemingly repeating, oh, and by the way, you can't eat it outside. After the Torah makes very clear instruction, you must eat it within Yerushalayim. Ela Liyachud Elav, Liyachudahu Lav Lecho Chavachad. So the reason why the Torah repeats it is that the Torah is giving now a proper and formal love for each one of them. So basically what the Gemara does now is the Gemara just changes its tune regarding how we're learning these halachas. Meaning originally the Gemara presented it as if it's a Kav V'Chomer, and Rabbi Shimon was learning it built on the structure of Kav V'Chomer, one argument after another argument. And basically we looked at two problems. Well, it's really one fundamental problem. And that is Kav V'Chomer. You can't create a love based on a Kav V'Chomer. So, and even though onish from a Kav V'Chomer debatable, you can't create a law from a Kav V'Chomer. And on top of that, we know that and the Gemara tried to say, well, we're just talking about Isurim, we're not talking about Lavim. But the Gemara says, we know we're not talking about Isurim. Because Rava says you're gonna get Malchus, the Mishnah says you're gonna get Malchus, we know we're not just talking about Isurim. So that's where the Gemara finally contends. The Gemara says, it's not based on Kav V'Chomer, it's really based on Yisura Dekra. It's based on the fact that this Pasuk is totally extraneous, and based on the fact that it's a superfluous Pasuk, it allows us now to create formal Lavim, in which you're gonna get Malchus. Gufa. Amar Rav Azar Shacham and Ola Lefnei Zrika Chutz Chama LeRabbi Shimon Lo KeChamesh. Rav made the comment that if you are a non-Kohen eating a carbon Ola outside of Yerushalayim prior to Zrika's Dam, so that now makes you eligible for five separate sets of Malkus. The Gemara says Veloka Nami Mishim Bazar Lo Yochol Ki Kodeshem. So the Gemara says there's another law, isn't there? The Torah says by the Meluin. Said the 7 days of preparation before opening day of the Mishkan. So there was a series of karbanos that were brought. Moshe served as the Kohen during those Shiva Yimei Amiluim. And it says that a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat them because they're Kodesh. So the Gemara says, so why isn't we have the non-Kohen eating the Kodesh, meaning the Ola, also subject to this law as well? So the Gemara says, no, that Isser and that law cannot be applied to this scenario because that Isser was only talking about Kohanim who are eligible to eat a carbon. A non-Kohen comes and eats it, he's going to be subject to that law. Over here, we're talking about an Ola. Nobody's eligible to eat from the carbon Ola, so therefore, that law does not apply over here. So the Gemara says there's another pasuk that says that the meat of a trefa you're not allowed to eat. And even though the pasuk seems to clearly be talking about not eating a trefa, it actually is a more expansive iser of this pasuk actually is speaking about a more expansive iser. Notably, anything that is outside of its perimeter, you're not allowed to eat. Rashi points out it really comes from the word basadeh. Meaning, if the Torah was just talking about not eating a treifa, the Torah would have just simply said, ubasar treifa lo sochelo. But the pasuk says, ubasar basade treifa lo sochelo. Meaning that once you have something that goes outside of its perimeter, you're not allowed to eat it. Two notable examples. One, the one we're talking about, meaning a carbon ola. Well, carbon ola no one's allowed to eat, which the Gemara itself is about to point out. But in other words, a carbon, let's just leave it like that, a carbon that has to eat within a certain confined area, you take it outside of its perimeter, so you're subject to the sister. Another example, a stranger example, is the one brought down in Chul, and Rashi over here quotes it. And that is as follows. We know that if you shecht a mother cow while it's pregnant, while there's a fetus growing inside, so we know that that shechita is going to be effective both for the mother and for the fetus as well. Right, correct. The halacha of ben pekua. And the halacha is that you can eat the fetus without having given the fetus a shechita, because the shechita that you give to the mother is going to be considered shechita for the fetus as well. If, let's say, right before the shechita, a limb of the fetus started protruding outside the mother, and you shecht it at that point in time, the portion that was outside of the mother is aser, the portion that's inside of the mother is going to be permitted. It is a strange halacha, admittedly, but that's the halacha. Well, how do we know this? Same idea. Baser basade trefa lo sochelu. Once something has left the perimeter, so then you're not allowed to eat it. That limb that left the mother prior to the shechita is not within the confines of the mother, and therefore not going to be mutter. Okay, another application of this pasuk. In the meantime, however, so for the non-kohen eating the ola outside the base of Mikdash prior to the zrika, so isn't he subject to this sister as well? So the Gemara says, I don't know if I read the full line of the Gemara. Kevin shiatsa baser chutz mechitzaso nasar. Okay, now I read it. So the Gemara says again, that only works with the starting point of where that when it's within the perimeter, you're allowed to eat it, right? Like the case of a regular carbon shlamim, or chatzos v'ashem. Like the case of the fetus in utero. But over here, we're talking about a carbon ola. Nobody was ever allowed to eat the carbon ola to begin with, so therefore it doesn't fit into this pasuk. V'lokanami kedir Rabbi Elazar, dami Rabbi Elazar, lo yochol ki kodesh. So the Gemara says, another possible iser is based on a drasha of Rabbi Eliezer. The pasuk says regarding the iser of nosar. Thank you. The pasuk says regarding the iser of nosar. I'm reading the pasuk in full. Imi vaser mi besarim ulim min alechem ad haboker v'saraftas anosar ba'ish lo yochal ki kodesh. If any of the meat of the miluim or any of the bread is left until the morning, so you're going to burn it. It is nosar, and it is, and the Torah then finishes up the pasuk by saying, "Lo yochal ki kodesh." You're not allowed to eat it because it's kodesh. So why not also have a set of malchus for that as well? Kosher b'kodesh pasul, malchus of litain lo sase al achilaso. Another lav for not eating nosar. So the Gemara gives again the very similar answer. Yes, that is a lav in the Torah, and yes, Rabbi Elazar darshens it. But you know what the story with nosar was? At one point in time, you were allowed to eat it. Meaning prior to becoming nosar, you're allowed to eat it. And then when it becomes nosar, now you're not allowed to eat it. Now that's a formal lav. Over here, we're talking about a carbon ola. Again, nobody was ever allowed to eat it, so therefore it doesn't fit into this pasuk. So the Gemara now knows that there is another drush of Rabbi Elazar, and this is regarding the mincha of a carbon kohen, meaning menachos, crash course menachos. So mincha is made up of oil and flour, and it's prepared in various ways. So, right, four different ways to prepare a carbon mincha, and Masechta Menachos will go through this in much greater detail. And what happens is that, what like a carbon, where you take the blood of the carbon, you apply to, and you put an application on the mizbeach, so matan damim. So here, when it comes to a mincha, something similar is done, in which the kohen is going to take a fistful of the carbon mincha and burn it on the mizbeach. This is a kometz, a kemitza. What happens with the remaining part of the carbon mincha? It is eaten by the kohanim, and it has the status of kashya kadosha. If a kohen was to bring a mincha, so here the halacha changes a little bit. The Torah tells us that if a kohen was to bring a carbon mincha, so which part of it is going to be burned? You're still going to do the kometz, you're still going to take a fistful, separate it and bring it onto the mizbech, and as far as the shirayim is concerned, also burnt on top of the mizbech as well. Nobody is to eat the carbon mincha of a kohen. Why that should be? So that's Tamei HaMitzvos. I happen not to have I didn't investigate this matter, but I'm sure Tamei HaMitzvos are given for this. But anyway, all I can tell you right now is not the what, not the why. So in terms of the what, so you're not allowed to eat a mincha that's offered by a Kohen, kamitzah is done, but then the shirayim is also burnt on the mizbech. And the Tanya. Now with that stated, so let's see the Braisa. Rabbi Elazar Amar Kol Shehu Bekalil Tiyeh Litein Lo Sa'aseh L'Achilaso. So the Gemara says is that anything that is totally burnt, there's now an additional lav of not eating it. So the Gemara says over here, the carbon ola seems to be a perfect example of this. Meaning a carbon ola is kalil tiyeh, it's totally burnt, and therefore one is going to be subject to this additional lav of not eating it. In Achinami, the Gemara finally concedes. The Gemara says, you know what? When Rava was saying he's going to get five sets of malchus, Rava was not giving an exhaustive list. Meaning, yes, a more exhaustive list would actually have other Isurim, notably the one we just quoted, but Rava was just simply limiting his comment to that one pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. That's exactly what the Gemara says. Rava mehai kra ka'amar. Rava was just talking about that particular pasuk. Rava was not extending it to other psukim, meaning, yes, there are other psukim that are eligible to be, to learn other lavim for this act. Rava was just talking about that one pasuk. Amar of Gidol Amar Rav. So the Gemara now, continues its discussion. Kohen she'achal mechatas v'ashal mefnei zrika loke. If you have a Kohen that eats either from the Karmel Chatzos or from the Karmel Asher, but before Zrika, it's subject to Malkus. Maitama amakrava achlu osam asher kupar bahem. So the Torah says regarding a Kohen and the Karmel Chatzos, that he is going to eat it. This is obviously the positive instruction for the Kohen. He's to eat it because the eating of the Kohen is what's providing the kapara. La'acha kapara in lifnei kapara lo. And here we have a deduction. The Kohen can eat it only after it provided the kapar, meaning after Nesinas Dam. But the Kohen is not allowed to eat it before the Nesinas Dam. The Gemara says we learned that by implication. Lav haba mechlase, lavu. Now here comes a controversial statement of the Gemara, and that is, so what are we learning together? That this is a negative prohibition, but only learned through deduction. Meaning the Torah says, here's what you're supposed to do, and inferentially now we deduce, well, if that's what you're supposed to do, so here's not what you're supposed to do. And even though the lav is only coming out through deduction, it is considered a lav. We generally assume, throughout Shas, lav haba mechlal aseh has the status of a mitzvah aseh, not that of a lav. Meaning, the conclusion's correct, but what category does it fall under? Normally, we put it under the category of an aseh. We don't put it under the category of a lav. Rav Gidol Marav is opinion, which the Gemara here is recording very clearly, is that he disagrees. Meaning he's of the opinion that when you have lav haba mechlal aseh, when you have a negative prohibition that's learned through deduction from a positive commandment, he files it under the category of lav, which is a big chiddush. The difference, of course, being if you file that under aseh, you're not going to get malchus. If you file that under lav, you aren't going to get malchus. Meisiv Rava, so Rava says, it's not true. Meaning you're telling me that when there's a negative prohibition learned from a positive commandment, and the deduction comes about, and from the deduction now we now know to file it under the category of a lav. It's not true. The Torah identifying which animals were allowed to eat. Torah gives two simanim, the split hooves and the chewing of the cud. And the Torah says that if you find an animal that demonstrates both of those simanim, so now you're allowed to eat that animal. And over here, the deduction is really simple. And if it fails to have these two simanim, you're not allowed to eat it. And the Torah could have just stopped there. Meaning, Rav Gidol Marav, if you're right, Torah could have just stopped right there. We got all the information now. Here's the animals I'm not allowed. Here's the animals I'm allowed to eat. And by simple deduction, any animal that doesn't demonstrate these simanim, I'm not allowed to eat. And meanwhile, we know what's going to happen. The Torah then goes on to say, the ikad de kamar de zelosochel lamali. Torah goes on to say, and if the animal doesn't have the simanim, then you're not allowed to eat it. That was a deduction. We would have known that already. And according to you, Rav Gidol Marav, you're telling me that lav haba mechlal aseh is a lav? That's not, why would the Torah then have to spell it out regarding, regarding the kosher signs of an animal? I mean, it's a lav. But what the Gemara's point is that we would have learned that lav just from the aseh. And if Rav Gidol Marav is right, a lav haba mechlal aseh files under a lav, so the information already would have been established. By virtue of the fact that the Torah is repeating it in the lav, is telling me the deduction is not enough. We need the Torah to spell out the lot. Ella I itmar hachi itmar. So the Gemara says, okay, point taken. Amrav gidol amrav. If I have a non-Kohen eating from Chatzos and Lashem, before Zrika, he's going to be exempt from Lashem. My time, I'm a Kra. V'achluosam asher kupar behem. Kol hechad karina bay v'achluosam asher kupar behem karina bay. Karina bay. So the Gemara says, you're right. And so what Rav Gidol Marav says is as follows. If I have a non-Kohen who's going to be eating from a Chatzos and Lashem, prior to Zrikas Adam, he's not going to be eligible for lashes. Why not? Because he's not a Kohen. Meaning, the only one who's going to be eligible for Malkus, for prematurely eating a Karban Chatas, is only the person who can eat it after the Zrikas Adam. So that's meaning Zirpei Kohuna, male Kohanim. But a Zari, non-Kohen, since he doesn't have the ability to eat the Karban Chatas after Zrikas Adam, therefore not eligible for the Malkus if he eats it prematurely. Okay. Halfway down on Yudches Amud Beis, continuing in the Gemara. Amar Rebbe Lazar, Amar Rebbe Yosha, Bikur Manachem Makeves Behem, Kriya in Makeves Behem. Okay. We're going to go back now to the beginning of our whole discussion. And that is, remember the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if a Kohen was to eat from the Bikurim, but prior to the Amira, so then he's going to be subject to Malkus. Rabbi Lazar over here seems to disagree. Rabbi Lazar, quoting in the name of Rabbi Yoshia, says that when you have Bikurim, so there are two steps to the Bikurim. As I described yesterday, let's just review today. First fruits that come into your field. So you put them in a basket, bring them to Yerushalayim, place them on the Mizbeach, and the vihinach toh, and then there's an amira, there's a formula in which you're supposed to say, and then you give it to the Kohen, and then the Kohen is eating it like truma, meaning only Kohanim can eat it, non-Kohanim cannot eat it. Now, hanacha me'akeves behem, kriya me'akeves behem. So Rebbe Lazar over here says, yeah, you know what's critical? Meaning they're obviously both mitzvahs. The mitzvah of hanacha is a mitzvah, the mitzvah of amira is a mitzvah, but what is me'akev, meaning what is critical? So the hanach is critical, but the amira, not critical. Obviously, it's a mitzvah, but it's not critical. Umi amar Rebbe Lazar, achiv amar Rebbe Lazar, amar Rebbe Yoshia, hifrish bikurim konim lachag, va'avar aleim achag, yirkavu. So the Gemara says like this. Now, in order to appreciate the Gemara over here, so just know that there basically are two timelines when it comes to bikurim. When is the proper time to bring bikurim? So from Shavuos to Sukkos. From Shavuos to Sukkos, so that is generally time of harvest. And that is the time when we are in terms of the harvest, the optimum time of Simcha. As a result of that, when you bring Bikurim from any time between Shavuos and Sukkos, basically the summer months, so you're going to bring it to Yerushalayim, you're going to put it on the Mizbech, and you're going to do the Amira. However, if it's post-Sukkos, you have the opportunity to bring it from Sukkot to Hanukkah, which is a funny halacha, by the way, because historically there was for a good part of the Beis Hamikdash there was no Hanukkah. But okay, whatever. In other words, Hanukkah over here, I suspect just simply means a basic window, a time of window, where we now would describe as Hanukkah. But anyway, from Sukkot until Hanukkah. So now you're going to bring the Bikurim, but you're not going to do the Amira. It's not optimum Simcha. You still have an opportunity to bring the Bikurim, but without the Amira. The Gemara quotes a halacha in the name of Rav Elazar, where you set aside the Bikurim before Sukkos, and so that means that this is Bikurim to the full extent of Simcha, where I would have brought these Bikurim into Yerushalayim, and I would have done both Hanacha and the Amira. And then what happened? I was delinquent. Procrastinated, va'avra aleim achag, and then Sukkos has come and gone, and the Bikurim is still sitting in my house. Okay, if they're fruit, probably they haven't lasted this long. But anyway, if it's wheat, however, yes, it can last. Anyway, so the halach is yirkavu. You are to let them rot, meaning you no longer have the opportunity to bring them to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, ma'alav mishum d'lo matzah l'mikra aleim. Now why? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because when you set them aside, they had a mitzvah of Amira. And now, because it's after Sukkot, there's no longer an Amira opportunity, and the Gemara's assumption is, and Amira is important. Meaning, it's not just a mitzvah, it's li'ikuva. It's a critical component, and now because you can't do the Amira, therefore, the Bikurim cannot be brought. And the Gemara assumes that that's right, so this goes against the previous halacha that we just quoted in the Amira of Elazar. And the Gemara articulates exactly this point. So the Gemara says, now, if Kriya is not Ma'akev, so then why are they Tarat? So the Gemara says, Kedarabizer, Dam Rabizer. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because Kol Ariya Labila in Bila Ma'akevs, V'chol She'in Arai Labila, Bila Ma'akevs Bo. Gemara says, look, if I would have brought it before Sukkos, would I have needed to have done the Kriya? No. Could I have done the Kriya? Yes. In other words, as long as there was a chance for me to do the Kriya, so then Kriya is not Ma'akev. But you see, after Sukkos, I can't even do the Kriya anymore. Meaning Kriya is simply not done after Sukkos. And we go to the famous rule of Rabbi Zera. The Gemara quotes this time and again. Meaning, as long as you have the possibility of doing it, so then doing it is not a must. As long as there's a potential of doing it. As opposed to where there's no longer an opportunity to do it, so then it's Ma'akev. The example that Rabbi Zera is talking about was the combination of flour and oil for a Karban Mincha. Meaning the largest container that they had was able to hold 60 isarons of flour, and that is going to be mixed in with one isaron of oil. And a ratio of 60 to 1 allows for a distribution and a proper mixing. Anytime I have more than that, so then I will not be able to properly mix the oil and the flour together. There's just too much flour for that little oil. Now, do I actually need to mix the two together? No, I don't actually need to mix it. As long as it can work, so then it will work. But once it can't work anymore, so then I can't do it anymore. So the Gemara says that's the same story over here. Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov Masi Lakad Rabbi Asi Amar Rav Yochanan V'Kashle De Rav Yochanan De Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says that the halacha that we just learned together, he said over in the name of Rav Yochanan, and obviously that presents a difficulty. Because now, Rav Yochanan, the way we're quoting Rav Yochanan now, Amir is not Ma'akev. In other words, it's not a critical component of Bikurim. Rav Yochanan was asked a question point blank. When is Bikurim permissible for the Kohanim? And his answer is, well, if Kriya is a possibility, so then Kriya. And then from that point, and only from that point forward, can the Kohanim enjoy them. And then if Kriya is not a possibility, meaning let's say it's brought between the time frame of Sukkos and Chanukah, so then since Kriya is not a possibility, Mishayiru Pnei Abayis, the moment they go into the Beis HaMikdash. So Kasha Kriya, Kriya, Kasha Anach, Anach. Now this obviously presents a problem. Because here, Rav Yochanan is saying that Kriya is critical. Previously, Rav Yochanan said Kriya is not critical, Hanacha is critical. So Kriya, Kriya, Lokashi, HaRabbi Shimon, HaRabbanan. So the Gemara says, look, as far as the steer between the Rav Yochanans, so the steers between Rav Yochanans are just simply resolved by saying, as we've already established, it's a machlokas. Meaning, is Kriya critical? Rabbi Shimon said, it started our whole morning off this morning. Rabbi Shimon said that Kriya is critical. In fact, not only is it the Shita Rabbi Shimon, it's the Shita Rabbi Kiva. Not only that, it's our Stam Mishnah, meaning it's where we started off this whole morning, that Kriya is a critical component of the Bikurim. And so when Rav Yochanan was asked, and he was answering Aliba to Rabbi Shimon, so then he's going to say that Kriya is critical. However, the Chachamim disagreed with Rabbi Shimon. And so on another occasion, Rav Yochanan said that Kriya is not critical. He was subscribing to the viewpoint of the Chachamim. Hanacha, Hanacha, Namilokasha, HaRabbi Yehuda, Rabbanan. And as far as Hanacha is concerned, whether or not that becomes a critical component or not, so that's going to be subject to another Machlokas HaTanayim. Okay, and I will pause over here. So tomorrow we'll finish up with exploring what is that Machlokas HaTanayim. This brings us into tomorrow. So we'll continue the discussion over there. So let's quickly recap. Rabbi Shimon learned out many lavim in the Torah regarding karbanos based on a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. It sounds like what he did is he constructed these lavim through a kavachomer. The Gemara says he can't do that. The Gemara then changes course, and the Gemara says it's not through a kavachomer, but it's basically through superfluous pasukim. In other words, we have the first pasuk Torah tells us that I'm to eat these karbanos in the walls of Yerushalayim. Then the Torah repeats, and don't eat them outside. So therefore, these psukim are extraneous, allowing for separate lavim. The Gemara went on and asked, the Gemara quoted the statement to Rav a number of times today, that according to Rabbi Shimon, if I'm a non-Kohen eating a carbon ola outside of Yerushalayim before Zrikas Adam, eligible for five sets of malchus based on all the derivations of Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara says, isn't there eligibility for other lavim? The Gemara that went back and forth on that, and the Gemara finally conceded, yeah, there could be another lav as well. Rav's comment was only regarding that particular pasuk. We also learned this morning that if you're going to have a child, make sure that he is as great as Rabbi Shimon. Okay. And finally, our discussion then went on to go back to the Mishnah in terms of how critical is the Kriya for Bikurim. It's certainly a mitzvah. Is it ma'akev? The answer is really it's a machlokus between Rabbi Shimon the Chachamim, and Rabbi Yochanan actually vacillated himself in terms of the Shita of Rabbi Shimon versus the Shita of the Chachamim.